Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And we're going to read verses 24 through 27. Brother Henry's not here with us tonight. Is he feeling bad? Yeah, you got to stop beating on him. That's all there is to it. All right. Matthew chapter 17. And verses 24 through 27. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" And he saith, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" And Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." And Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast in an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and for thee." Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I want to thank you and praise you for all that you do. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement of your word. And Lord, we know that you'll take care of all things. And whatever this church, whatever the need is, it'll be met. And because you're a great God, and we just love you, and we thank you and praise you for it. Now bless the services, bless our hearts now, and help us to see some truths out of this. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Matthew wrote this gospel right here that we're just read from, and he was a tax collector, and he wrote this gospel of the king. And can you imagine that? He's writing a gospel of the king. He's writing about the king. But yet the king doesn't have any money. He's absolutely so poor, poverty, that he doesn't even have a half a shekel, and that's what it takes to pay what they need to be able to pay here. This miracle affirms our Lord's kingship. You know, our Lord is king, and we need to understand that. He's king of everything over this whole earth. And just like Keith said somewhere earlier about has a cattle on 1,000 hills and all that, and so he does. You know, he's king of this whole place, and so he knows what's going on. He knows what the needs are and all the rest. The king of the earth, the kings of the earth, do not take from their tribute money from their own sons. This is what Jesus is saying here. "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" And of course, Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." And then Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free." Well, Jesus affirmed himself to be free from the tribute money because he was the Son of God. Amen. And that's what, you know, that's whose temple it is. It's God's temple. So why should he have to pay tribute to that? And it's not required for him to do that. But yet the Son of God, I said this already, was poor, didn't have money to pay. He didn't even have the half shekel. So he exercised his kingship over nature to provide what was needed. Now, I want you to see tonight, if we can, let's take a look at five things that about this miracle I think will help us, okay? The first thing was, it was the only miracle that Jesus performed to meet his own needs. I don't know whether you realize that or not, but, you know, Satan had tempted Christ to use his divine powers back here in Matthew chapter 4. And remember when he came to him and he said, you know, you're hungry, and he's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights out there in the wilderness and all that. And he turned around and tried to get him to turn those stones into loaves of bread. And if he had done that, then he would have been taken care of himself and not trusting the Heavenly Father to meet his needs. And folks, let me tell you something. We need to realize that our Heavenly Father is going to take care of us. Amen? Even Jesus, when he was here on this earth, he absolutely refused to do that. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. And, man does not live by bread alone. You remember that? But by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So that's how he came back with that. And but he was tempted to go ahead and take care of yourself. Your Father's not taking care of you, so you're hungry. Look out for yourself. You know, you have the power to change these things. Well, he wasn't sent here to do those things. Amen? And so anyway, he went ahead and did that. He says here that now the only reason why he does this is because he does not want to offend them. He says in here, in verse 27, the first part, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. So, no, he said, I don't want to offend these people. I don't have to do this, but I don't want to offend anybody. You know, there's times, folks, that we need to look out for other people. We need to look out for their feelings and everything else, you know. Maybe we might see something that we don't like. Maybe we might see something that somebody's doing that's not exactly the way that we would do it and all that kind of stuff. But don't jump up there or say something about it or talk to other people about it or put it on the website or something like that. Not a website, but what is that, Facebook and all that kind of stuff. You know, about you didn't like this. I didn't like what they did. Well, so what? Just keep it to yourself. Why offend people? You know what I mean? Why do that? Our Savior decided not to do that. He said, you know, I don't have to do this, but you know what? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. I'm not going to offend them. And I think that's, you know, that's a kindness that we ought to have. You know, as Christians, we ought to be the kindest people in the world, considerate of other people's feelings. Now, you know, true, when something's really wrong, we got to say that it's wrong, and that's all there is to it. Amen. And if I got up here and started reading out of an NIV or something like that, you need to say, wait a minute, hold it. You know what I mean? I thought this was a King James only church, and we are, by the way. And so you won't find that happening. Amen. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is this. When you see something really wrong, then, yeah, say something about it. But if you can keep from offending people, let's do that. Amen. Let's choose to take that route because that's the route that Jesus took. Jesus was not thinking of himself. He was careful to obey the law of God. Now, there's a lot of times that Jesus might not have done some things that, you know, when the scribes and Pharisees came and said, it's not lawful for you to do that. Well, wait a minute. Who made that law? You see, that's... That's your own tradition. That's not a law. You know, God hadn't told us that we can't do that. You show me where it says you can't eat something without washing your hands and all that kind of stuff. It's not in the Bible. Amen. It's not in the law of Moses and all that kind of stuff. Now, the priest had to wash and stuff like that before they ministered and all, whatever they did. But what I'm trying to say is this. They got all up in the air because his disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate and this kind of stuff, or Jesus didn't when he sat down to eat. Remember when they were going through the field and they were plucking off the corn and eating it and all that kind of stuff? Well, you know, Jesus told them, you know, that's your laws. But he was very careful not to break a law of God because that would have been sin, you see. So he didn't do that, and he was very careful to obey the law of God. So, it was the only miracle that Jesus performed to meet his own needs. Second thing was, it was the only miracle using money. You know, a lot of times we look at the miracles that Jesus performed, but, you know, he didn't go around giving people a pot of gold and that kind of stuff and everything or whatever. You know what I'm saying? He's not one of them little leprechauns. There you go. You know, I was getting ready to say, you know, why do you bring that up? Because you don't even know what their names are. I'm glad you said that, brother. But anyway, you know, and you're not going to find a little pot of gold anyplace. So, you know, that's not what God does. But God does provide, and he does things in a miraculous way, in an unbelievable way, in a way that's totally, completely impossible, and he'll meet that need and all the rest. It's the only miracle that God used here, or that Jesus used here, in using money. The third thing real quick, now notice I'm going by this thing real quick. We only got five, amen? But, so stay with me, all right? It's the only miracle using one fish. Now, in Luke chapter 5, and verse 1 through 11, Jesus multiplied the fish for Peter. Remember, he came by and he told Peter to cast the net on the other side. And he did, and he got all those fish and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, he told him to follow him and all that, you know, type of thing. So that was good. Okay, in John chapter 21, after the crucifixion, after the burial of Christ, and after the resurrection of Christ, Peter says, I go a-fishing. Remember that? And he took seven other disciples with him, if you read it, and they fished all night long. And Jesus is standing on the bank, and he called out to him. He said, children, have you any meat? And he said, no, they hadn't caught anything at all night long. Amen. And, boy, we could take a little instruction from that. Amen. If God's not in it, then it's not going to happen, and that's all there is to it. So, you know, we just need to trust in him and follow him and obey him. But anyway, the Bible tells us that he told them to drop the net on the other side. So they did that. Now you tell me the difference between one side of the boat and the other side of the boat. There's none. Amen? Really, when you get down to it. And especially those boats, they weren't very big boats anyway. But he dropped the net down and caught 153 fish. In fact, there were so many that he couldn't even get them up in the boat, and he drug the net all the way to shore and pulled them up on the shore and all that kind of stuff. Well, Jesus already had a fire there and all the rest. He said, come and dine. That's where we get our song, come and dine, amen. The master calleth and all that. But anyway, these are miracles. These are miracles using fish. But this is the only one where it only used one fish. Why? Because Peter was a fisherman that used nets. He didn't use just a fish hook, you know what I mean, and do his fishing and all that. But, you know, I want you to stop and take a minute and look at the complexity of this miracle. Now, the first thing is that somebody had to lose a coin. But they didn't just lose a coin. They had to lose a coin in the water. Amen? The second thing was, then you had to have a fish that would take the coin into his mouth. He swallowed a coin. Or not swallowed it, but he just got it in his mouth. And then to top the whole thing off, then when Peter came down there and threw his hook in the water, that particular fish had to come on over. And even though he had a gold piece in his mouth, he still went ahead and bit on that hook. Amen? And Peter pulled him up out of there. And he was able to open his mouth, and there was the gold piece, like Jesus said. Now, I don't know what he did with the fish. I think if a fish gave me some gold, I'd put him back in the water, amen, and say, go get some more, boy. Go find some more. Sniff it out, amen. No. But anyway, he went ahead and did that. And so here's, you know, that's amazing. That is really amazing when you stop and think about it. So this is the only miracle using one fish. Now, the fourth thing real quick is this. It was performed for Peter. Remember, Jesus didn't really have to give that shekel, but Peter did. By law, Peter did. And he didn't have any money or anything like that. But this is the only miracle where Jesus did for Peter, as far as money goes. But he did a lot of miracles for Peter when you really stop and think about it. I don't know whether he was mad at Peter at this time, but he healed his mother-in-law Amen. No, I shouldn't say that. You know, there's nothing wrong with mother-in-laws, right? I had the sweetest little mother-in-law in the world. I really did. West Virginia woman up there in the mountains. You know, just sweet as could be. I shouldn't even joke about mother-in-laws. But really, to be honest with you, Jesus did. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. And second thing he did was he helped Peter catch a lot of fish. I told you that in Luke chapter 5. Told him to drop the net over on the other side, all that kind of stuff. Jesus enabled Peter to walk on the water. You ever stop and think about that? He's the only man alive that ever walked on water other than Jesus. I've done it a few times. Of course, it was frozen when I did it, but no. But anyway, yeah, Peter was the only man that had ever walked on water with Jesus. Jesus healed Malchus's ear. You ever stop and think about that too? You know, there's a lot of miracles that Jesus did for Peter. I mean, here's a man, he just chopped off his ear. And Jesus picked it up and put it right back on and everything, healed that man. It's unbelievable. But Jesus also, later on in Acts, we see how he delivered him from prison. And probably from execution at that point in time. You know, it's no wonder that Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. He wrote this. He said, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And that's true. Amen. We can cast all our cares upon Jesus because he cares for us. The last thing real quick. I didn't think I'd go through this that quick. Boy, you all are all cheering and happy, and I see smiles on your face, and David's about ready to hit the bar over there again, amen. Or the table, I should say, the food table, not the bar. But, amen. It's the only miracle that does not have the results recorded. You ever notice that when you read this? It doesn't have the results recorded. You know, you would expect Matthew chapter 17, verse 28. Now, there isn't one, so don't look in your Bible, amen. But it would go something like this. So Peter went to the sea, cast in a hook, and drew up a fish. And when he had opened its mouth, he found the coin and went and paid the taxes for Jesus and himself. Now, it doesn't say that. Amen? But if Jesus said this in verse 27, "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee." Now, if Jesus says that, then you know it's going to happen. Amen? And that's all there is to it. Folks, let me tell you something. We've got a great God. And we got a God that can do all things. And I would like to see that place up the road here. I wasn't too happy with the one out this way, but if that's God's will, amen, then we'll go ahead and be out there. But I don't think that's where he wants us to be. I'd prefer this up the road here, and I think you all do too. But nevertheless, we'll go ahead and we'll check it out, and we'll see. We'll take the steps as God leads us and guides us. Amen? And that's all we can do. You know, just like Peter. Peter didn't really know where he was going to get any money. He knew he had to pay this half a shekel for he would be arrested and all that kind of stuff. And he'd be breaking the law and so on and so forth. So he knew he had to come up with that money. He didn't have the money. But yet God provided that money, you see. And he took care of his needs. And he'll take care of our needs too. And I know that we have a little bit of opposition here on the other side with the bingo and all that. You know, you're not going to believe this. My wife answered the phone the other day, and a lady, she said it was sounded like a little old lady, you know what I mean? But she said, "What time's the bingo?" And my wife says, I think you got the wrong number. But, yeah, our church is being affiliated with this bingo and everything. And I don't necessarily like that. But, you know, the truth of the matter is we just need to preach the gospel and everything else. And somebody asked you one time if we have bingo up here. Say, yeah, you know what, if you want to really have bingo, you need to get saved. And once you get saved, you can holler bingo, amen, or whatever. No, but we need to get our own place. There's $3,000 a month that the Lord is providing. And I hate to use the term wasting, but we're kind of wasting that here. And I think we do need to be looking, but we need to be patient and let God place us where he wants us to be. Let's pray about this, okay? Father in heaven, I know that there's people that might be having financial problems of their own in their own household and things like that. But dear Lord, I pray that you'll let them understand that you're the great God and you can meet all our needs and you'll take care of whatever problems that we might be having. You can meet that need in the funniest and strangest way in the world. You met their need right there. They needed to have a shekel of half a shekel for each one of them. So Jesus told them to go and catch a fish. And dear Lord, maybe that's what we need to do, is just go out and keep trying to win souls and just catch a fish. And that'll meet the need. But however you decide to do this, dear Lord, I pray that you'll take care of our church, take care of our needs, and show us that thou art the great God. We believe you are, we know that you are, and we look to you for everything. We don't look for anything else, no millionaire to come in here and try to take care of us and all that kind of stuff. No, you're the one that we look to. You're our King, and we look to you to meet our needs. So, dear Lord, I pray that you'll bless us and help us to do thy will. In Jesus' name, amen.